Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and my delightful friend Richard Presser is on board, and we have a very special guest tonight, and we are delighted to have a famous composer, and this is a gentleman that even if you don't like classical music, you would recognize this. Well, my friends, did that sound familiar? And Richard, what was that that we were playing?
Oh, just a little bit of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony.
So, you know, now you know. We have Beethoven as our guest tonight, and I feel so privileged. I just think he was a true master. And so, my friends, if you are familiar with how we work, then you know what I'm going to say. And if you're not familiar with how we work, then I'll just give you a little bit of a background. Richard works with the energy of the person that we talk to on the other side. And you might be able to pick up his energy also. So concentrate on the third eye. Just call Beethoven quietly. You don't have to call out loud. Ludwig von Beethoven is on board with us tonight. And Richard, tell me what his energy feels like.
It is a beautiful, loving energy. A high vibration energy, a clear, very centered energy, perhaps slightly left of center as I experience him, but this beautiful, loving, powerful yet refined and in a way gentle energy, beautiful energy, really. Very, very refined is the word I would use. Very special.
That's remarkable. And it is my understanding that Mr. Beethoven has a message for us at our group here at the radio station. So what is he saying?
It is a wonderful opportunity to step forth and to communicate with you in this manner. Many of you who listen may think that this is perhaps some kind of burden for us to come forth and to communicate with you in this way, whereas in truth it is a great honor and a great delight. It is a very special experience for us because when we step forth in this manner and we experience the attention of humanity, of those of you upon earth, we feel this and it is a beautiful experience for us. So understand that indeed it is a great joy for all of us that come forth in this manner. And I appreciate the opportunity to come forth and speak to those of you who are listening live and those who will listen to this recording, because I not only felt I was very privileged to come to Earth and to bring forth my music, although at the time of that life, it was in many ways a very challenging experience for me. But also on one level it represented a pinnacle of many lifetimes of work to be able to bring forth that music. And also I wish to mention that I wish to use that lifetime as a platform to communicate with those beyond ascension who wish to connect with my musical abilities, so that others might build upon what I was able to bring forth and to understand the nature of how I did what I did, so that others can grasp the skills and abilities that I was using. I do not say that what I was doing was in some way unique, because there were other great composers in my time, and indeed there has been great composers throughout modern history, and indeed prior to. But I was fortunate to come forth in a time when there had been a platform, you might say, built by Mozart and Haydn and others, which I could build upon. And this enabled me to bring forth my particular brand of music, which I'm excited to understand still resonates very strongly with a great many of humanity. And so, having spoken these few words, I will say that music plays a very important role in awakening spiritual aspects of humanity. No one can listen to great music and not experience some level of transcendence of the day-to-day human experience. It is simply impossible. And this transcendence, in its own way, is a connection to that spiritual nature of the individual. The human being is far more complex than most of humanity gives you credit for today. So much has been done to destroy the connection to your spiritual aspects, and indeed the truth of who and what you are as human beings. And the great wonder of music is that it simply sweeps away, in its way, that perception. Yes, so much of music has been packaged up as being something that the intelligentsia, or in my time, the nobility, had particular access to. But in truth, music, especially in your time, is available to anyone who wishes to listen to it. That small sample of my Fifth Symphony that Richard played was taken from the internet. And so much of an extraordinary array of music is readily available to anyone who wishes to listen to it. You can buy CDs of my music and so many other composers, both from my time and before and right through to the current time, readily, and simply take them home and listen to them. Such an experience was not possible in my time. And so the access to this extraordinary window into that spiritual dimension is there, readily available to anyone that wishes to connect with it. Anyone who is familiar with my Sixth Symphony, known to many as the Pastoral, cannot but experience their spirit soar as they listen to that music and to readily identify the themes of nature that permeate that music. And I do not mention this to you to lay any particular claim from my perspective. I simply was the one that brought that music forth. There have been many other great composers. I simply wish to make the point that music such as this has your spirit soar. It awakens your soul. And for those who examine this and reflect upon what is happening, you cannot but recognize that it is accessing, it is awakening aspects of the individual which go beyond the mundane, go beyond the day-to-day living of life. And so it is this that I wish to mention. And I will say to you that those of you who are actively walking a spiritual path, and there are many who will be listening to this recording or listening to this live for whom this is true, the way in which you will connect with great music is far more powerful because you appreciate the connection that it has to the soul. And I know because I can witness your responses. And I see those who have awakened themselves spiritually and have done work to clear the energies that they have gathered in this life or past lives, and to see the freedom that this opens up within them, to simply experience the joy of great music in an unfettered way. And I say to you that the opportunity for all of humanity to appreciate and enjoy great music will be truly extraordinary beyond ascension. And indeed, there will be new aspects of music that will become available to you beyond that time. And so there are many areas that I could wander into, but I really wanted to restrict my words to the beauty of music and the connection that it carries to the spirit and to the soul of those who listen to it. And so it is.
Well, that was such beautiful words, and we appreciate the content. The message that you are bringing forth is just perfect. And asking you to come on the show today, I was so delighted that you agreed, because there were things in your life that I wanted you to comment on, if you could, and give us some insight as to the workings of the soul, how they come forth to earth and work here and cross over. There were things in your life that I was particularly attracted to. And what I have noticed is that there are groups of individuals who come in certain areas and, as you mentioned, build upon one another's work. And I would like for you, if you could, to address this. It seems to me that perhaps this is a plan of souls that they get together before they come and decide to do just this, come in groups, so that each can build on one another's work. Can you comment on this, please?
It is indeed so that this occurs. If you look at human history in perhaps more recent times, and I say recent because human history upon the earth is indeed very long, but if you look in my time, for example, as you know, Mozart came forth not that long before me. And before that, there was Bach and Telemann and others. And of course, in my time, there was Haydn. And so, as you can see, there were groups of composers that came forth. And of course, Schubert and Schumann and others in my time. And yes, indeed, it is true that individuals agree, souls agree ahead of time to come forth in this manner, to build upon these platforms that occur one upon the other, to build a great progression in a short period of time. And if you understand the nature of energetic cycles, you can recognize that indeed there are energetic cycles which open the door to these possibilities. That grouping, for example, that began particularly with Mozart and ran through beyond my time, that indeed there was an energetic doorway which was very amenable to this unfolding process. And there was a similar doorway that occurred at the beginning of the 20th century, where there was this extraordinary flowering in so many, you might say, artistic or not only artistic, but indeed scientific and literary endeavors. And so what you have identified is indeed very real. And there is, to some extent, a corollary of this, and that is that it has been noticed that a number of individuals may well come forth with a scientific discovery at virtually the same time, quite independently of each other. And again, this phenomenon is a reflection of groups of souls coming forth and in a way working together, although in some ways separately, as they build upon each other's skills and abilities and success. And these connections are very often occurring in the background, you might say. And even though the individuals may not be aware of it in their lifetimes, these processes are at work on the spiritual level, on the intuitive level. I, for example, do not claim that I was the creator of the music that I brought forth. I see myself as simply the vehicle that brought that music into existence. Yes, the background that I gathered, the teachings of my father and other teachers that taught me particular skills and so on, created a platform for this to unfold. But in truth, I really brought forth that music that I was guided to bring forth. And of course, Mozart recognized that very strongly in his lifetime. So what you were saying is true, and as I've indicated, there are more threads to this than just the fact that souls agree to come forth in groups in this manner.
Thank you for your answer. And to further this along a little, you mentioned how you brought forth music that you were guided to bring forth. Now, was this your soul that was guiding you to do this, or are we talking about some other kind of inspiration?
Most of the guidance was coming from what you might call my higher self. I'm not saying that this was the only source, if you will, though in terms of it coming forth to me, it was the primary source. I had had many lifetimes where I had come forth as a composer and a musician, and this builds a base within the monad, within the soul, that an individual lifetime builds upon. And this is not true just in music, but indeed in many endeavors in life. The skills that, for example, you display, Carolyn, in your extraordinary channeling skills are indeed a reflection of the fact that you have done this over many, many lifetimes. And so it is easier for you to open this up in this lifetime, just as it was easier for me to open up those musical skills when I came forth. You are aware, for example, that I published my first compositions at the age of 13, and indeed Mozart was bringing forth compositions at an even younger age than I. And these are a reflection of the abilities that we brought forth at a soul level. So I would say that most of that guidance came forth from my monad because of the skills and abilities and understandings that I had built. But also there were other sources of guidance that contributed to me via my higher self in this manner.
That's beautiful, and thank you for that wonderful answer. And it makes me think of something else. I assumed that there would have been many lifetimes when such gifted people as you brought forth works at an early age. You mentioned Mozart, another gentleman who brought forth great works at a young age. And so there were many lifetimes, as you say, building as a musician and a composer. Is this because when the soul was created, and I don't know if you know this, but I just think it's such an interesting fact. When the soul was created, was there something implanted in the soul that would lead the monad to explore the vibration of music?
I am not aware that this is particularly the case, though I will mention that just as there are many present upon the planet at this time working with the two of you, I am was an incarnated cherubim angel. And as many of those who are also in this lifetime expressing this, the cherubim are masters of vibration. And as you would recognize, music is a form of vibration. And so many of the great composers that have come forth over many lifetimes upon your planet are indeed cherubim, because they have a natural predisposition to the bringing forth of music. It is a natural aspect of their natures.
You know, of course, I'm chuckling right now. I just love your answer. I wasn't thinking so much about musicians being cherubims and, you know, composers being cherubims, but it certainly does make sense. I just love it. I wanted to explore another area. You brought forth this beautiful music, and you were so challenged, it seems to me, because at age 26, according to what I'm reading, your loss of hearing began during that period of time. Such a young age. Was this something that your soul planned before you came, this challenge?
In one sense, yes, and in another, no. It was intended that there be some degree of struggle in my lifetime, and if you examine my life, you will see that there were many aspects of struggle. As I had health issues, I had family conflicts and other things which made my life challenging on many levels. And so this, you may not perhaps realize, contributes to the ability of a sensitive soul to express itself musically. And so this was an aspect of the plan of my lifetime. However, that specific experience of deafness was not a specific choice that was made. And so the fact that it came forth in that way was not a specific challenge that was chosen. And I have to say, it was certainly a great challenge to be able to continue to compose what I now appreciate continued to be a great music, even though I was no longer able to hear that music.
I was so struck by that. Thank you for that answer. The fact that you couldn't hear the music and yet were able to compose, I mean, to me, that just seemed miraculous. And so I'm assuming that you were composing strictly by vibration and memory of how one puts together the chords, so forth, and the notes. Am I on the right track with that?
As I realized that I was losing my hearing, it caused me to focus even more strongly on the way that music was structured. And so in a way you could say I could hear the music in my head even without being able to hear the notes. I was able to feel vibration to an extent through my skin. I became much more sensitive to musical vibration through my skin. That is not to say that I could hear through my skin, but I developed a greater sensitivity to be able to, you might say, feel the music in that way. But in particular, because there was a gradual lessening of my hearing, it caused me to focus on building this ability to, you might say, hear the music in my mind, in my head, without having to actually hear it coming through my ears. And time has proven that I was indeed able to do that very, very effectively, and I'm very proud of what I was able to achieve, even though I could not hear the music that I was able to create in the latter part of my life.
I thank you for coming forth and discussing this, because in today's world, there are many people who have challenges, and it is so easy to become disappointed and not stay focused and move forward with your mission. And the fact that you were able to tell people this hopefully will give individuals the, you might say, courage, willingness to move forward in the face of challenges, because there are many challenges in the world today. And is there anything along these lines that you wish to comment on as far as the challenges are concerned in the world today?
I will say to you that every period of life upon earth has had its challenges. In my time, there was war. There were many health issues that afflicted many. One of my brothers died of tuberculosis, which today you would treat. I suffered many health issues that today you would readily deal with your current medical regime. And so there were challenges in my time that would not, for the most part, exist in yours. And yes, I recognize that there are challenges in your time that were not present in mine. And so I say to all of you, accept that life upon earth has been a challenging path for most souls, particularly since the fall in Atlantis. And in a way, you could say this period of some 13,000 years or so was fashioned to be a period of challenge. And there are many reasons for this. I will say to you that these times of challenge generate great soul growth, though as you live your life, you do not understand this. Secondly, challenges cause you to acknowledge your humanity, and indeed assist in cultivating humility. It is very easy when you are successful in a particular way in your life to become, you might say, dismissive of others and the challenges of others. However, as you live your life, when you have your own forms of challenge that you need to overcome, it does cultivate humility and, you might say, also compassion for others and other people's struggles. Not everyone indeed has reaped the benefits of these kinds of challenges, but I, as I view life from this perspective, do not regret the challenges that I lived through, because I can see that they contributed to my art form, and they contributed to my being more accepting of others.
Thank you for that great insight. We have a caller online, and we're going to take a question from her. Beverly on line one. Welcome, Beverly.
Thank you. Yes.
And your question. We're here, dear one. Your question?
Okay. Okay, well, I was so excited that Beethoven was going to be here, and I'm just really thrilled. My question is, some years back, I was having a reading, and Mother Mary was the speaker, and she was encouraging me to listen to music, and she specifically mentioned Beethoven's Fifth. And as she mentioned that, she says, "You were present with at that time, you know." And, of course, in my own way, I always fail to ask the important questions, so I didn't ask what the connection was, and I would love to know if you can address that.
Well, we'll see what we can find out for you, Beverly. But before we do, you were so anxious to hear from Mr. Beethoven, and hasn't his insights been so wonderful?
Absolutely, yes. And it almost is exactly what I would have expected.
Good. So, Richard, Beverly wants to know if she has a connection with Mr. Beethoven.
I do not wish to disappoint you, Beverly. However, unfortunately, the source that was speaking to you was not accurate, because as I examine your soul, you were not one that shared that lifetime with me. I know this will give you some disappointment, perhaps, and I ask that you do not allow this to damage your sense of connection with my music, because I will say that music has been an important aspect of your experience over many lifetimes. And indeed, you have had connections with my music in past lives through that process. But I will say that, as I mentioned, you were not actually present with me in sharing that time. And I do feel a little saddened that I share this information with you, given your expectation and what you have been told.
One thing, if you could clarify, you mentioned that she had some connections with your music over past lifetimes. What could you clarify that a little bit? Because maybe that's the connection.
She has been a musician in many lifetimes, and as such has performed my music as a musician. She was a pianist in one lifetime, a violinist in another, and as such has performed my music, and so has that form of connection with my music, as I said, over more than one lifetime.
Oh, well, that is wonderful. Thank you so much for that clarification. And Beverly, the way it seems to me that you, this has even opened the door a little more, don't you think, that to know that you've been a musician through several lifetimes?
Yes, and that doesn't surprise me.
And yes. Why doesn't that surprise you? You're involved with music now?
I have been all my life, yeah, even as a youngster, and I did study piano in this lifetime, and was in the high school band and all of that, and all of my children are involved in music, so yes, there was, you know, not to any great degree, but it's always been there, and I love music, and especially classical music, and I listen to it all the time. So,
I would like to suggest to you, if this makes sense, this particular piece that Mother Mary suggested that you listen to, have you tried meditating during the playing of that music to open your memory of the past?
No, I have not. In fact, that just kind of entered my mind here in the last week. You know, just I think it was through hearing about your show. And so I wanted to get out my CD with that Fifth Symphony on it and listen again. I haven't done it yet, but maybe this weekend I can. So yes, and it's all Oh, I think it's just wonderful. And like, you know, she really didn't say I was with him, but she said you were there when it was written. So that could have many meanings, you know.
Yes, and it could have many meanings. Know. And memory, you know, when we remember something, well, if we have something in this life that we really love, many times it's connected to a memory from the past that pleasures us in some way. And since you've been a musician through several lifetimes, it could be that particular piece that moved you in some fashion, and there could be a connection there. So I would suggest, as you are talking about this, take the music out, the piece, listen to it, and follow your emotions. You know, we open up the door and get to past life memories many times through an emotion of some sort. Perhaps I should be a little stronger. I suspect that emotion, positive or what we might consider negative, is always working somehow to memory of the past. So,
yes, well, that makes
work
sense.
With it.
Yes, very much.
Yeah.
So. Uh-huh. All right. Well, this has been very exciting.
I'm so
thank
glad.
Thank you so much. And
you're
thank
welcome.
You, Mr. Beethoven.
And thank you for your question. At the present, yes, you're welcome. At the present moment, we do not have any other questions coming from our listeners. So we are getting to the end of what I might have in mind that I was interested in hearing from Mr. Beethoven. Richard, is there anything else that you are wanting perhaps to ask Mr. Beethoven?
Well, I think he may have more of a message, actually, I sense.
He has more of a message?
I believe so.
Okay, let's see.
I wish to reinforce what I began to speak of earlier, and that is the role I wish to take in assisting humanity with awakening to the possibilities of music beyond ascension. I intend to return to Earth. In other words, my monad will send forth another aspect beyond ascension. And because of the greater abilities that will be present then, I will be able to, you might say, send all of my skills and abilities to that new expression coming forth. And as such, I look forward to participating in helping those of humanity that wish to compose beyond that time to contribute to their skills and abilities and understandings as they walk that path. And I mention this for two reasons. Firstly, so that those who are interested in connecting in future time beyond ascension with that aspect that will come forth, that will be known as being a reincarnated aspect of me. But also, I will mention that there are other souls that have developed great skills and abilities upon their time, during their time upon Earth, who will also send forth new aspects to participate with humanity in that what you might consider flowering of a golden age beyond ascension. It will be a truly wondrous time when so much will be available to humanity, so many new skills and the ability to take advantage of so many talented individuals that were present upon your planet and who will, you might say, return and assist in progressing humanity's skills and abilities and wisdom. And so it truly will be an extraordinary time for humanity beyond that ascension event that you know is early next year. And so I wanted to take the opportunity just to expand a little on that picture for you.
Well, I appreciate that, and I kind of would like a little further explanation of something that you said. This individual that your soul is going to send forth, I think you mentioned that they are going to announce that they are a reincarnation of you. Did I understand that correctly?
That will be so. And that might sound a little pretentious as you listen to it from where you are, but beyond ascension, this will seem a very normal thing because all of you will readily connect with all of your past lives. And so this will not seem so strange. Indeed, you will all, as I say, have awareness of your own past lives and indeed quite often have awareness of the past lives or some of the past lives of those that you know well. And so this will not seem so strange in that changed consciousness.
Well, I would agree with you, and I thank you for clarifying that. Now, since you're talking about a period of time not too far away, the soul of this aspect of your soul that is planning to come in, are they going to come in as an adult or as a baby? Because I'm just thinking of the time. Do you know this?
That one will come forth as a child and grow up.
Okay, so it'll be a little while before he'll be proclaiming that he's a reincarnation of Beethoven, I suspect.
Indeed, it will take a few years, but it's important to recognize that really 20 years in the scheme of things is not so long.
No, it's not. We have another caller. Douglas is on line one. Welcome, Douglas.
Hi, Carolyn. Hi, Richard. It's such an honor to have Beethoven as the guest and to have this chance to speak with him. And I just wanted to say, before I ask the question, is just that in my own youth and development, his Moonlight Sonata was very instrumental in my soul awakening, especially along musical lines. And I just wanted to really express my gratitude to him.
I love it. I was wondering if you were hiding somewhere on the other side of this line. So, yeah. Let's see if Mr. Beethoven, what he has to say about you loving his Moonlight Sonata. Maybe he'd give us some insight as to when he composed it.
Thank you.
You, Douglas, as you will understand, have participated with music over many lifetimes. Indeed, you have been a great soul bringing forth great truths to humanity on so many levels. As you know, you walked with Yeshua in his time and brought forth great love and compassion and understanding and many of the truths of Yeshua beyond his time in what you know now as the Middle East. And your connection to music has been a profound one over many lifetimes. And indeed, you were participating with music in my lifetime also. And so your connection to my music is a very deep and profound one. And it is no surprise to me that you found that particular piece to be, you might say, a trigger in your own awakening on many levels, because it resonates on some deep past life levels for you.
Well, Douglas, what do you think of that?
That's beautiful.
I figured you'd think it was beautiful.
Yeah, that piece of music awakened me in a way. It was so profound, especially during my high school years and when I was really working to develop my musicality. in this lifetime.
Well, you really say awaken, Douglas. I'd like to think of it as shaking you. Douglas, yeah. Thank you for your comment. As always, we are glad to hear from you.
Thank you. Could I ask one quick question?
Yeah, surely.
Going to his comment about beyond ascension, he mentioned earlier that, you know, so many of us have to have certain amount of challenges in our lifetimes to help awaken and develop our abilities. And I'm wondering if you could speak to beyond ascension. Is that still going to be necessary, or will there be some other way to awaken abilities without all that challenge and stress and strife?
Well, personally, I don't see it as a time of strife, but let's see what Mr. Beethoven has to say about it, how he looks upon it.
Okay. The experience of humanity beyond ascension will be vastly different from your current experience. The notion of challenge, in a sense, will continue, but its nature will be so different, so different. You will not be struggling for the basics of life. You will not be struggling to make sense of who and what you are, because you know, and you will know who and what you are. You will know and understand your connection to all there is in the center of the cosmos, and you will communicate readily with him and with your own monad. And so the struggle, in a sense, will be for what you might term spiritual growth. It is a very different kind of struggle from the struggle that you have today, and you might not really consider it a struggle in the same manner, but souls will, you might say, stretch themselves. They will, for the most part, reach for the achievement of the possibility that exists and will exist in that extraordinary form that you will have. And because it is the highest dimension, if you will, to which beings have carried a physical body, there will be experimentation and learning and opportunity that has never existed before. And so there will be, in a sense, challenge as individuals experiment and explore the possibilities. But it is a very different form of challenge, as I say, than kind of challenge that, for the most part, humanity has experienced since the fall.
Oh, that's beautiful and very encouraging. Beautiful.
Thank you for your comments, Douglas. We do appreciate them. And Richard, I would like to thank you for your beautiful work tonight. And Mr. Beethoven, I think the information that he brought forth was just phenomenal.
It was very special, wasn't it? I'm still kind of over there.
I understand.
Indeed you do.
Well, we have about 7 minutes, and I thought perhaps I would mention just one thing on the newsletter that we do, Yeshua Then and Now. People can get 3 copies free. Tell them how they do that, Richard. Are you able to do that?
Yes. Simply go to the 2012 Countdown website of ours, and you'll see a page there which is called Yeshua Then and Now, which is related to the newsletter. And so simply go there and place your order.
I thought I would discuss this with you because I just finished up one of the installments of the newsletters, and there was really, in my opinion, some fascinating information. I just love the way Yeshua expresses it. And he talked about the burning bush that Moses had seen, and Yahweh, the I just found that particularly interesting, and the path that the Hebrews had taken, and their that particular newsletter that I worked on, I just thought was so fascinating. I'd done a lot of research on, you know, the history of the Hebrews and so forth, that I put in some links to different places. Really fascinating information. Was there something, we have 5 minutes, Richard, was there something you wanted to touch on?
In relation to that, no, not so much, but rather more, I guess I just wanted to comment a little about the right brain magic work that we do, because you know, people listen to what we are doing here on this radio show in connecting with people on the other side. And really the thing to recognize is that you can all do it. It's not something that is unique to Carolyn and me, but rather anyone can do this. And so, if you're not aware of it, we actually teach you how you can do this and kind of get you started, or if you've started doing it a little bit, to kind of build a bit more structure and understanding and confidence in terms of how to go about this in a way that you can trust a little more. And so we do that through what we call our Right Brain Magic work, which you can find at rightbrainmagic.com is the website where we have that work. And so at the very least, you might go there and listen to a couple of the recordings there of people bringing forth their experiences from the other side. It can be quite extraordinary what people experience in that work.
That's true. And it also, we were talking about this earlier today, Richard, how learning how to use the right side of your brain is very helpful to understand the people that you work with, to improve family relationships, to understand where other people are coming from, because of the nature of how one connects to consciousness. And I wanted to bring that forth because I think it's so important. So many of the things that we work with, where people are concerned, you know, there's problems among coworkers or family or friends, and it really is a great tool to help understand and straighten these things out.
Indeed. It's fascinating how you can use it in this way.
One of the early experiences we had was working with the consciousness of a tree, which sounds, you know, rather way out there, but we worked with the consciousness of a tree in the area, and the tree had experienced so much history of the area and discussed that with us. It was quite extraordinary.
Truly. And the ability to communicate with crystals, for example. It's really quite fascinating. The crystals of the earth hold all of earth history. So many of us look at history as having been, you know, people say that history is the version of events reported by the victor. And in a sense, that is true as it's come forth today. But really, the true history of the planet and of humanity is all nicely stored by the crystal. So all of it will come forth and all of this will get straightened out as life unfolds. It's going to be quite interesting.
Indeed. So we are up to the hour. Richard, again, I would like to thank you for the beautiful work that you do. And I'd also like to thank Mr. Beethoven for coming. And since I have a half a minute, Richard, who did we decide is going to be next week's guest?
We decided to bring forth the Queen of Sheba.
We're going from composer to the Queen of Sheba.
That's going to be kind of interesting, I think.
Oh, I think it's going to be very interesting. And I would encourage people to sign up for our email because they would get notice of these things. And Richard, real quickly, dear, can you just tell people how to do that?
Yes, if you're not already on our mailing list, then I suggest you go to the 2012countdown.com, and on the top or bottom of any page on that website, you can enter your name and your email address, and you'll be placed on that list and receive our emails about whatever's unfolding, including these radio shows.
Richard, thank you so much for assisting us, for bringing your skills. And to all of you out there, I say until next week. Good night,
good night
for now.
Thank you, Carolyn. Bye for now.
Goodbye.